Hallelujah. Father, we are so grateful. Please sit down. We are so grateful for this time you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated if you have a seat. How many here are from Australia? How many are not from Australia? All right. Beautiful. Well, I'm excited to be here again. And I know that God is doing wonders in Australia and all the islands. And I know that he's going to do even greater things. So I'm excited to be here again for these 2 days, 2 or 3 days, 2, 3, 4 days. And once we are here, that is a blessing. Amen. So I want you to go out of this place having received a touch from God, not just a word, but your heart is changed and your life changed to serve Jesus. The aim of this meeting is to serve God well. And I believe that you are going to do great things for the Lord. Amen. So the theme for our camp is only one talent. I need only one talent, and many are called. Now, one talent, because if you look at people who are talented, like let's say Ida is able to sing. No, you must hear, not just shout, please. If you do that, it goes off, right? If you look at somebody like Ida who is talented to sing, most of us cannot do that. So in every field, you have few like talented people who are so talented. Can you move this thing from here? Move it. So, and this one too. Right. No, I didn't say you should move the books. Leave the books. Yeah, just leave that. Yeah. Thank you. Now, hallelujah. Now, if you look at people who are, let's say, very gifted in singing, dancing, preaching, and different things, you find out that there are not many like that. It's one out of whatever, very gifted in playing tennis, playing golf, running. We can all run, but not 100 meters in 10 seconds or 9 seconds. You get it? Yeah. So now, if God is going to call many people, you get it? He's obviously not going to be calling a lot of talented people, because the talented people are few. So then you would have to change the verse to few are called. You get it? Because the few talented people are called. You know? But you see, many are called. And so it shows that if many are called, then it's going to be people with not much talent. People with just, you know, average, something small. Something small. You know, you actually just need something small, because when you walk with God, your something small and His plenty comes to combine with you and you achieve great things for the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that is why we say that many are called, and that I actually need only one talent. Yes, I don't need so much. So when you hear God calling you or sending you, don't look around to see who is more talented. Because there's always going to be somebody who is more talented, who preaches better than you, who speaks more nicely, you know, who has the English words or whatever type of words, and who has the right whatever. You know, but God needs people that have only one talent. And I see you as part of the only one talent group. You know, when God called me to preach, I was so discouraged with myself because I couldn't preach well. It's like my preaching was like talking. Up to now, my preaching is like talking. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like I'm just talking. Yeah. But you see, it's actually the Holy Spirit that you are listening to. Because sometimes when people come for a camp, the topic may be this. Then they come out and say, when I was at that camp, God said to me this. I said, wow. That's not what I said, but it's like the Holy Spirit is speaking. So you just need one talent and you'll be fine. So if you are here and you have only one talent, how many here feel you have only one talent? Yeah. Yeah. And the lowest you can have is one. So nobody should say 0.5. Don't say 0.5 at all. The lowest talent level is one. That's what the Bible says. All right? And so you and God together make a mighty force. Yes. So if you watch the people that God uses when he sends them, you'll be shocked. The question you want to ask God is, are you serious? Are you serious that you want to send this person? Be serious, Lord. This is not the kind of character you should send. So when God was sending the apostles, I mean, they had so many problems, but those were the people that he was sending, and most of them were teenagers. John was a teenager, and they were probably in their 20s. You know, you rarely follow somebody who is younger than you. So Jesus was 30 years old when he started preaching. They were all either in their 20s. John was the youngest and lived the longest. You know, so he was talking to small boys. Yeah, and he was telling them about the world, you are going, the kingdom is going to be given. You'll be in heaven. You'll be, have a, what do you call it? You'll be having seats, thrones. Hey, if you were there, you'd be saying that this man is having imaginations. He's having delusions. Does he know who he's talking to? You know, he doesn't seem to know who he's talking to. But he knew who he was talking to. So it's not really you, but it is you with God that makes a mighty force. Yes. So expect great things. And attempt great things. Because it's not you, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. Only one talent. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is as a traveling man who went into a far country and called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. All right? Now, one of them, all right, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straight away took his journey. Amen. Now, the talents that God gives you are according to your ability. Now, if you take people who are given different gifts, you'll see that apart from the gift that God gives to you, He has given you some ability. So gifts are given according to abilities. All right? Now, the ability is something natural. For instance, what can an American do? What can an Australian do? What can an African do? What can a person from Tonga or Vanuatu do? What can somebody of your age do? What can somebody with your education do? So God looks at everything you are and so many other abilities that you have naturally before placing into your hand certain abilities or certain talents. So talents are different from abilities. And talents are things that God gives you to work. Now, talents are also the same as goods. Because He said He delivered to them His goods. So then, after the goods, He said He gave them a talent. So the talents and the goods are what? The goods are God's possessions. What God has for you. So today you are receiving talents, and you already have talents. Then he that had received 5 talents, that's where the difference comes in, went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. All right? Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1, went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So another word for talent is money. Wow. So it's 3 different words. Goods, talents, money. All given to you. And God is expecting for what he's given to you, you're going to do something. Now, 1 received 5, 1 received 2, 1 received 1. So, 1/3 of us have 1 talent. 1/3 of us have 2 talents. And 1/3 of us have 5 talents. So, 1 and 2 are quite close. Then 5 stretches it a bit. Okay. Now, likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So, the one who did, who received the talent, 1 talent, went and digged in the earth and hid his gift, hid his ability. Right. Now, by the way, this is not a camp which is trying to get you to stop walking in sin. Like we're trying to prevent you from smoking or drinking or taking drugs or whatever. No. We are on a higher level. You see, this man with the 1 talent, he was not a killer of anybody. He was not a murderer. He was not a thief. And he didn't do any of the things we traditionally call wrong things. He didn't steal anything. He didn't lose any money. He wasn't careless. He didn't rob anyone. He didn't harm anyone. We are not talking about that. So if you came here thinking that we are coming to blast you because of fornication or blast you because of taking drugs, then you are in the wrong camp. You see now, we are not even talking about that. We are higher than that now. And we are talking about, you know, another type of evil. The evil where you don't do any of the traditional sins. Yes. And you know, the people who are most proud are those who don't do what we call the traditional sins. What are the traditional sins? Drinking, smoking, fornication, adultery, pornography, stealing, lying, killing. You have people who don't tell lies. If they told a lie, it was maybe when they were 6 years old, then they told a lie. Since then, they don't tell any lies. Fornication, we have a lot of virgins. Adultery, there are people who, when they marry, their eyes are fixed. One guy told his wife, beloved, you have blocked my view. And what did he mean by that? I can't see any other girl. It's only you that I see. Yes. Yes, you've blocked my view. I can't see any other person in the world. Since I met you, I see no one else. I see only you. You are all I see. You've blocked my view. Yeah. How many would like to have somebody like that? Such people can easily be very proud. Because they don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't do many things. They never need. If somebody is looking at pornography, they just look and say, "Oh, what is wrong with you? Why are you looking at all this?" You get it? So this one talent man was in that category. And our church is full of these type of people. Yes. The church is full of this type. Our church is full of this type. One talent, do no wrong, people. One talent, what? Do no wrong. Yes, people. Now, notice what he did. He went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of these servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Wow. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So the reward for using your talent is not compared to the work you were given. That's what people don't realize. You know, if you have a job of a bank manager, there's a certain type of salary you can expect. If you have a job as a doorkeeper, as a cleaner, there's some of salary you can expect. You get it? So if you have a job as a security officer, there's a kind of salary you can expect. So now if you have a job that God gives you, and he says, use my talent that I've given to you, there's a kind of reward you can expect. But in this Bible story, the reward is far out of sync with the job that was given. He was given 5 talents and he was able to work and got 5 talents more. So his salary or his pay should have been maybe 10% of the 5 talents. So maybe half a talent, or maybe even 20% of the profits, or maybe 10% of the total that we now have, which is 10% of 10 talents. What do you think? Or even if you want to give him half of the profits for your faithfulness. But no, he says, I will make thee a ruler over many things. Wow. So I've heard from people who have died, gone to heaven. I've heard the snippets, rumors, that the rewards are not comparable to the little things we've been given to do on earth. Yes. I hear that. I mean, there is no, you can't imagine what it's like to have been faithful to God. I mean, there are some people, you work for them, you'll be surprised how they look after you. You, no one can compare with what God can do for you for serving him and loving him. Yes. So I think it's the greatest disappointment to God to see that people don't believe that he is the greatest rewarder that can ever be. And you will see the rewards you have when you use your one talent. Amen. Amen. Verse 22. Now he also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. And he said, I have gained two other talents. And his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Again, a reward which is out of proportion with the work that has been given. Receive an out of proportion reward. Amen. Amen. Now, he that had received one talent. This story ends in verse 30. There are 15 verses dedicated to this story. Now the next 6 verses are dedicated to the trouble that came to the man who had one talent but didn't use it as he should have. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now he that had received one talent came and said, Lord, I know that you are a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering thou where thou hast not strawed. Okay? Now that's a cheeky answer. For those of you who are rude and sarcastic, you get it? And make sharp remarks about things. Be careful. Because this type of sarcasm did not go down well with the Lord Jesus. And this kind of funny comments and thoughts, evil thoughts, about somebody getting what he doesn't deserve, reaping what he doesn't deserve, it didn't go down well at all. So watch out, those of you who have always your mind goes left or right or to another oblique direction. Yes, oblique thoughts. What? How does it come in? You are given 2 talents, 5 talents, 1 talent. Go and work and come. Suddenly you are talking about my character. Have you been called to analyze my character or my personality? To tell me how I am like, whether I'm hard or I'm soft? Are you married to me to know whether I'm hard or soft? No, you better be careful. And there are people who have such oblique thoughts. Your oblique thoughts are not going to... Let's check the meaning of oblique. I think it will help us. Yeah. Yeah, neither perpendicular nor parallel to any given line. It's not perpendicular or parallel to the thoughts diverging from a given straight line. So the thoughts are diverging from the issue. Yes. Not straight or direct. Indirectly stated or expressed. Not straightforward. Indirectly aimed at. Deviously achieved. Underhand. Do you see? Perverse. So you can't have oblique thoughts all the time. Who are you aiming your thoughts at? You aimed it at the wrong person. Yes. You aimed it at the wrong person. Be careful with Jesus when he gives you work. Yes. Be careful with Jesus when he gives you work. He will not take certain things lightly. Yes. You know, there was a certain man. He was given some work. And when he was given the work to do, I think it was in the, I don't remember the exact era, Greek, Roman era, when he was in that little army and he did the wrong thing. So they called all of them and they said they were going to punish them with lashes. You know, then he told the consular, please kill me because I can't take lashes. To lash me, to whip me in public or to give me, to whip me is more than to kill me. But the consular said, no, you'll be whipped. So they whipped the man. And the man received the whips and went to his house. And then he said he's going to kill the consular who whipped him. So the consular heard and he realized that the man was serious. But shortly after that, he was transferred to another town. He was very happy about it. So he went to the other town. And the man who was whipped walked. It was about 200 miles. Walked to the town. And the poor was there and he heard that the man has come there. And the man said, I said, don't whip me. I said, it is worse to kill me. It's better than to whip me. You see, you have to believe certain things. When we say that, you have to believe it. And the consular was terrified when he heard. So he went to another town which was further 400 to 500 miles away to try to escape the man. But the man, he said, what I have told you, what I don't want is to be whipped. I don't want to be whipped. Yes. The man walked. He didn't take a donkey. He didn't take any. He walked to the next town where the man went. Just coolly walking. And the consular heard that the man was coming. He was frightened beyond his wits. The man patiently walked and came to the town. After so many weeks or months, the consular heard that the man was there. Then he moved again to another place. And this man, it's a true story. The man said, I said, don't beat me. Kill me. I prefer to be killed than to be whipped. I hope you are getting it. There are some people you don't mess with. And this man moved to a far, about 700 miles away. The man walked there patiently. Went to the man's house and killed him in the house. I said, do not whip me. I don't like that. Yes. So there are some people, don't joke with them when they say something. Yeah. You can't tell Jesus you are a hard man. reaping where thou hast not sown. Some of these things you will not get away with them when it comes to God. Yes. I know you are a hard man. Reaping where thou hast not sown. Do you know what I've sown and what I've reaped? How do you know what I've reaped? Before you comment on what I have. Amen. Gathering where thou hast not strawed. What do you mean? And I was afraid. Because you are to be feared. You are an awful man. You know, whenever you are afraid of something or afraid of somebody, you are saying something. Yeah. You are a terrible, frightening person. So I was afraid and I went and I hid thy talent in the air. And lo, here, thou hast that is thine. You see, I didn't steal anything. Oh, shame. You see, I've not spent, I've not done anything. I've not. And you see, this is a shield of perfection. It's like a mask of goodness. Yes. And you see, that doesn't work with Jesus. That is why when Jesus came, the people he had most conflict with were hypocrites. Those who say, I fast once a day, once a week, I keep a tithe, I do this, I haven't done this, I do that. Hypocrites. Now, you have to be careful with your so-called perfection. Yes. And that is why I have found God uses all kinds of people. People that you would discount. Say, oh, this one, no, no, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. The perfect people don't want to do. My pastors, my lay pastors, many of them are going to have this judgment. Yes, my lay pastors, many of them are going to have this judgment. Because they are good people. You know, if you want good people, come to lay pastors, UD lay pastors. They have good marriages. They have husband with one wife. They stay together for years. They look after their children, husband, wife, children, normal life, good everything. The people who want to be in the missions and so on, young, they have so many problems. So many. Marital problem, financial, this, that, difficulties. Yes. Sometimes I look at my pastors, the lay pastors, I say, hey, these are angelic beings of goodness. Yes. They've not done anything you can point to. You can't point to anything wrong that they do. Yes. The only thing is that they do nothing. Yes. I don't want to lie to you. You know, I was recently in Uganda and I was driving through the city. I will not mention the names, but as I was driving through the city, big cities, 38 million people in the country. And the country has been peaceful for about 30 years. Since Idi Amin's time, it has been peaceful. Yeah. With millions of people. Millions. And as I was driving to each town, I would remember one of my lay pastors. And I'd say, oh, this one would have had a very big church here. Good person. Good man. Good family. Most problems are marital problems. Most problems are marital. When you meet people who don't have marital problems, you have met people who are almost angels. It's like they are graduating to angelism. It's true. People want to serve God, but mostly follow what they consider as traditionally good or bad. I don't smoke. I don't drink. No, I don't drink. I don't take drugs. I don't watch pornography. I don't do what else? I don't lie. I don't steal. I work hard. I provide for my family, my children, my home. That's all. That's just like this man. Many of my pastors are going to have this. The last six verses of this story are going to come up. Your oblique thoughts will be brought out. You see, I can't bring out your oblique thoughts. You can argue about everything. There are people who can argue. You can't win an argument. Have you met such people before? Or you've not met such people? They have an answer for everything. Anything you say. Anything you say. Oh, why? Anything you say, they have something clever to answer back. It's stunning. Yes. And you can't win any argument with them. It's true. One time, it's the only time I've never been to watch a film in these modern places, but just once I went in California. Somebody took me to watch The Passion. Shh. And when I was watching, you know, a friend took us there. When we were watching the film, you know, it is in Aramaic. They speak Aramaic and then they write in English under The Passion. So we were watching and then we were talking. We were sitting way at the back and we're talking and making noise. And there were some white people over there, and they said, "Please, you are disturbing us." You know, so my friend who had brought us here, he's a Nigerian, a brother. He asked the white people, "Do you speak Aramaic? You know, do you speak Aramaic?" In other words, why do you say we are disturbing you when you are not hearing Aramaic? You are reading the subtitles. So why should it be a problem for you? You get it? And I thought to myself, yeah. An answer for everything, because we were disturbing. They couldn't concentrate, you know, but thank God he was there to deliver us. He just sorted them out. After all, he brought us there, so he just gave them an answer. But you see, you can't get away with God with these clever answers. Everything, you have a clever answer. Oh, do you speak Aramaic? Oh, sorry, this and that. Why? You want me to go and work hard? This and that. So, you can get away with it to human beings, but you can't get away with God. So many of us are going to have this thing. You'll be standing there. I never did this. I never did this. I never did this. I was this. I was this. I was that. So as I drove through Uganda, I was looking at the towns. I said, this man would have been here. He would have had 1,000 people serving the Lord there. This one would have been here. He would have had this. This one would have been here. But no. Everybody has a reason why they can't do whatever. So he says, I was afraid of you. I was afraid of missions. I was afraid of obeying you when you gave me the one talent. And I went and I hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, here you are. Be careful, you talk that way. I don't like the way you talk. Eh? Here you are, what is yours? Have we done anything wrong? Verse 26. And the Lord answered, thou wicked and slothful servant. What is wicked about it? That's why I say, the judgment, you are naked. You know, if you ever work with human beings, you see that you are working with liars. The Bible says that God is not a man that he should what? Lie. It's like lying is more than even wee-weeing or poo-pooing. Yes. That's why I said God is not a man that he should wee-wee. No. Or God is not a man that he should poo-poo. No. God is not a man that he should lie. That's how we are. Everything is not true. Everything about us is not true. God is not a man that he should lie. That's how we are. It's all pretentious. So when you are dealing with people, that's why the conflicts come. A man was going to start his prison ministry. By the way, this is just an introduction. We are going to just close. Yeah. But a man was going to start his prison ministry. Prison ministry. So they called him for orientation. And do you know what the orientation was? The orientation, they told him that the first thing you must know when you go to work in a prison is that everybody says he's not guilty. He didn't do what he was brought there for. You must understand that before you talk to any prisoner. They may be holding the gun in their hand, doing whatever. They'll say, me? I'm sorry. I don't know what you are talking about. That's human beings. Everything is not true. Everything is pretentious. And God says, you are a wicked and a slothful servant. So that's God's diagnosis of a perfect man. Yes. God's diagnosis of our perfection. That's God's assessment of our innocence. As we stand and say, me, I'm clean. Look at my hands. Here is your money. God says, wicked man. Lazy man. Yeah. So I'm just telling you that judgment, you can argue with Bishop Dagwood Mills about whatever, and you can say whatever you want to say, but God is the one who is going to be, you are going to be dealing with. You stand before God. You answer God. God will say, oh yeah. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I don't sow. Okay, I've accepted your accusation. And I gather where I have not stored. I accept your accusation. Verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, so that at my coming I would have received my own with usury. There should have been increase. So God is very angry that there is no increase. But whenever there is not even a minimal increase in the number of churches, in the number of missions, in the number of members, in the number of attendance, that there should, at least the most basic increase should have taken place. Because you see, the population is increasing. The population of Australia is increasing. The population of all the islands is increasing. So when there is no growth, it's actually a decrease. So you've actually taken away from what you had. It's true. You know, some years ago, to have a church in with 5,000 or to have a crusade, you know, you always have to do it in relation to the population. There's a time that a city is very small, few people. There's a time that there's so many people. That when you have a church with 200 people, it's a shame. But there's a time that 200 people is a very great thing. If you take the city of Accra, Ghana. Oh, years ago, there were no cars. I remember there were no many cars, not many people. If you come to Accra, where you say you are in Accra, the city of Accra. Yeah. I mean, it's from here to here. What is Accra now is 10 times, 20 times what it was. My mother told me she was walking with a surveyor, with my father, and a surveyor through a forest. That forest is today is now the center of this. Not even the center, it's just an expensive place, but it's right near everything in the middle. But it was a forest when I was a child. If you go to Jerusalem, you'll see that the city of Jerusalem has walls around it. And that's where we will walk through when we are going on the Via Dolorosa to where Jesus was crucified. But outside those walls, Jerusalem has spread far. So when you get to Jerusalem, you don't know, is this Jerusalem? It looks like a normal city. Till you come to the old city. That's original Jerusalem with walls. Then you see that this is Jerusalem. So church growth is relative to how many people are there. You can't tell me that you are having 200 people when you are in the old Jerusalem And then the New Jerusalem, which is far bigger, you say you still have 200 people. That's why he said you should have at least even put it at the bank, and I'd have had a little bit of interest. Because when things are the same, it's a crime. It should have been at least something extra. So you can't come to Australia and have exactly the same thing that you had 2 years ago, last year, 10 years ago. Yes. And you are also, your output is the same as it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago. You are just the same old pastor with about 20 people or 5 people or 10 people. It's the same. And God has put in you a talent. And all that you can give God is the same 5 people. It's even going down. You even used to preach once a week. Today you don't preach. So wherever there is no change and no improvement, you can see that it's actually a negative thing. And that's why the Lord said that you are wicked. Yeah. No, this is not a message for praising you. You know, there are some people who want to be praised all the time. So we are praising, oh, well done, you know, thank God for your faithfulness. Then just go home. As soon as we close, just pack your bags and go. No. There are many people in Sydney, you are just used to being there as you are. No change, no improvement, no breakthrough, no progress. You have been in the church since Pastor Peter came here years ago when he didn't even have a pot belly. You should see the pot belly that he is having now. What year was that, Bishop Richard? 1999. That we had a camp in 1999. Yes. 1999, 2009, 2019, 20 years ago. Yes. 20 years ago, he came here. And we come back 20 years. The Bible says, and the master came back after a long time. Yeah. After a long time. So 20 years later, if the same hall can accommodate the church that has been there since 20 years ago, you can't be praising yourselves if you are expecting to hear praises. And you see, that is why I always send people on the mission. Because even if it's the case that the church cannot grow, because sometimes it cannot grow. But you see, sometimes, yeah, there are some things that cannot grow in a certain direction, but I can go in a certain. Like if I want to grow my stomach to become big, I know what to do. I'll just eat in the night. You get it? Every day and drink a lot. And my stomach will grow bigger and bigger. But if I want to grow taller, I cannot. Yes. So maybe the church may not be able to grow in a certain direction, but it can grow maybe on the islands or on missions or in different places that it could have grown, but we wouldn't go there. Oh, yes. We would be the same. Yes. There are many lay pastors, I tell you. You know, just like there are even leaders and of nations. You know, what they've done to the nation. I mean, it's just like leaders of some churches, what they've done to the church. Verse 28, you see what must be done to you. Verse 28, take the talent from him and give it unto him which has 10 talents. Yes. Take the talent from him. And God gives one person more and more and more and more. Yes. One person gets more and more and more things to do. There are things I didn't used to do. I'm doing them now. Yeah. It's like my work has become more. I'm doing other people's work in the ministry. And those who do the work, they end up taking up people's responsibilities. Let me also do this one and do this one and do this one. I've been at a crusade. I came the next day. I had a very serious meeting till the night. The next day, I was consecrated bishop to the night. The next day, Sunday, I started Sunday morning. I finished in the night, 8 o'clock, went home, caught a flight, and I'm here. Yes, so I'm from church. I'm actually coming from church. Yes. Huh? No, I'm coming straight from church. I'm church from Sunday church. I've come here. Yes. Yeah. So they will take the one talent and give it to the one who already has 10 talents. So he now has 11 talents. And it's all because some people don't want to use their one talent. A fishing net is made up of small, small, small. Everybody joins his part and then it becomes a net and it catches fishes. But I say somebody will not do his whole section. And he said the thing is not working. So somebody who repairs this has to go and add all this side. Because he's like, these people don't want to do what they have to do. So take the talent from him. That's why when you start working for God, you seem to become more and more and more gifted. You seem to have abilities. And you seem to have things that people even wonder, how are you able to do these things? Yes. It's because most people don't want to do anything. Because most of us have only one talent. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has more 10 talents. So you'll be sitting there and say, hey, God bless you, Pastor. God bless you, Pastor. You are very gifted. You are very anointed. But actually, that apparent giftedness and anointedness is actually a rebuke to somebody. It's like, you wouldn't lift your finger to do anything. Yeah. There are many churches here. You would have been 10 times the size, 20 times the size, if you were working in a certain way. It's true. You are used to being praised. This is like women's meetings. You are used to having women's meeting to be praising you. We have stopped all those things now. Yes. Yes. You are used to being told, it's powerful, you are beautiful, you are this, you are that. Now we don't say that those things much anymore. No, 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 no. Because your hair is not even real. Yes. It's true. Sit down. So, take the talent and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Don't sit here expecting to be praised. 29. For to everyone that has shall be given, he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken even that which he hath. Very sad. Verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right? So that's where this story ends. Being cast out to outer darkness because you were unprofitable. Unprofitable as far as God's profit is concerned. God wants to profit, and God's profit is not money. God's profit is not money. God's profit is in the souls of men, the people. God's prophet is in his church. He says, I will build my church. That's the prophet of God. I am sad to announce to you and to inform you that few churches are being built in the world today. Few new churches are being built. It's a very unusual thing to find a church being built anywhere. I know because we are building churches in different countries. In Zambia alone, we have about 5 big cathedral building projects. In Zambia, only Zambia. Yes. You rarely find churches being built. Or is it not true? Those of you from the islands, is it not true? In Vanuatu and so on, are there anybody building churches there? You don't see anybody building any church. The churches that are there have been built some years ago. 100 years ago, they were built. Great cathedrals and buildings that people with a heart for God were adding profit to the kingdom of God. That's how come the church became so powerful all over the world. You know, one day I was in a train in France going at top speed. And I kept noticing the churches. And I started to cover my eyes like this and just look out of the window. You know, I always like to sit by the window. So I was looking at the window, just looking to see the churches. And I'll see, you know, you see this, the high steeple there, you know, and you just see them. 1, 2, 3. Through France, there's no country which has more churches than France. France, where they don't believe in God today. Church after church after church. They built it. There was a time they believed in God. And they built God's house with all their hearts and with all their minds. Are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's our turn now. Not to sit down and be praising ourselves and be telling ourselves that, wow, we are doing something when we are doing very little. Is that good? All right, we're supposed to close, so we close. They say we're about war beer. We are not sleeping here. All right. Take out your offering. Take out your offering. Take out your offering. And let's give an offering as we close. Tell somebody. Hello? Are you giving an offering? Now, listen, let me just say something. How many know that it's expensive to have a meeting like this? There are many things you don't know. So, all your duty is to give a good offering. That's all. Don't think too much. It's a blessing that we are here. And thank God that we are here. Amen.
Amen.
Other people's camps did not come on this year. But Australia is coming on. That's a blessing. And remember, 8 years ago was the last time we had a camp before last year. So when you are giving offering, give, because by the time we finish and we are in financial problems, we say, hey, no more camp Australia, you know, it's going to bring financial problems. How many want us to say that? All right, don't say that. So take your offering and we are going to close with this. Maybe it's good that we close because more fire is coming into your... No, we are not here to praise you. To praise you that you are doing well. I'm talking to you about how there should have been some small profit from you. Amen. Lift up your offering and let us pray. Father, we thank you for what you are giving to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
And offerings in the church so that there
is meet in the house of God.